Hello. You can always tell that we've been chatting for like 20 minutes before we start recording. It's like someone walked into the conversation halfway through. This is us scooching over on the sofa to make room. Now you can sit down. We're going to chat about this book. But first, your week, friend. How was your week?
It's been great. I mostly just had work, but I listened to a few books, I believe.
Oh, how incredible. Let's see.
I know.
Please share.
Just groundbreaking.
Titles and, wait, no, we should do a quick summary. Titles and stars if you want. Only if you want.
Okay.
Might be controversial. Or unless you don't want to share the titles. Unless you've been reading something from the free section of Amazon Kindle.
I have not. You'll actually be happy. The first two books that I read were The Woman Who Rides Like a Man and Lion is Rampant. Very exciting. And then I read A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet yesterday.
Oh, that's really sci-fi good. That you mentioned.
Yes. Yes. And as we all know, I'm not the biggest fan of sci-fi, but mm-hmm. it was very character driven. And there was like mm-hmm. an inkling of a romance from what I remember. Mm-hmm. I did listen to it, so I did get a little bit confused some of the time.
Uh-huh.
But it was really good.
How exciting.
I know.
How exciting.
I found another sci-fi book that I like.
That's amazing. Don't ask me about books.
Oh.
I've had a really intense couple of weeks wherein mm-hmm. I have not picked up a book in November, other than today's book, which I reread specifically for this episode because I love this book so much. I have not read half my book goal. So let's Google how many days left of the year we have. There are 42 days till the end of the year, which means I have to read like 3 books a day, pretty much, till the end of the year.
Yikes.
Which I can do. It'll be fine. It's just kind of like a lot of work. And I don't like sign myself up for this. Also, my partner made me penne pasta today.
Ooh.
And so...
My partner also made me pasta today.
Yeah. Look at us. Look at us. Living the dream. We have flowers from our partners in the room. We have penne pasta. I don't know. What kind of pasta was it?
It was like spaghetti pasta.
Oh, spaghetti and penne pasta. That mm-hmm. is the dream. We are living the dream, folks.
Truly.
Except for the fact that my headphones are too tight and I feel like they are squeezing my skull. But yeah, I haven't read any books. But I did just get gifted another book by Frederick Bachman, who wrote, I think it's Anxious People, which I think I read earlier this year.
Oh.
Did I tell you about that one?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was the one where I was like, this is a silly little book. That is.
Right.
Yeah. But it's the same author, and someone gifted me the book, and it's a physical book. They just gave it to me, and I was like, oh, a book
nice.
For me? How wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. Also, we were talking about Reclaim the Stars last episode, and I just bought it today.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Reclaim the Stars is so wonderful. I mm-hmm. shall plug it. No, we didn't. Did we talk about Reclaim the Stars? Did we talk about
I think we
All the Sunken Souls?
Very briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. So All the Sunken Souls is, again, if you're on Goodreads, go to All the Sunken Souls by Circe Moskowitz. Circe Moskowitz is one of the authors within the anthology of All the Sunken of nope, Reclaim the Stars. Wow, my I completely lost everything there. Reclaim the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
How exciting!
Very
I can't wait
exciting.
To hear your thoughts.
Yes.
I actually did read a book. After all that drama, gosh, if only I could learn. I actually did start reading a book, and this is for all of you who are actually trying to keep up with our podcast. Can I announce next month's book?
Sure.
I have the book in my hand, like I'm going to hold it up to the camera, a camera that no one will see. Next month, we're going to be doing The Cruel Prince.
Very exciting.
Which, and... Can I share that we might have a special guest? And we might be having a very, very special guest for this episode who has been bugging me to read this book. So I started reading it. I think I got like a chapter and a half in.
Mm-hmm.
I've been highlighting and underlining. We're gonna have a very intense episode of me just commenting on all the specific choices made by the editor, by the author, word choice, grammar, overall syntax, just all of it, right?
Mm-hmm. So exciting.
So this month, friend, how excited are you?
Oh, I'm so excited. We're doing another good book, which is very exciting. Da, 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 da. I know. Hold the applause.
Yeah. Hey, you can stop cheering now.
But it's Cemetery Boys by Aidan Thomas.
Yeah, even my cat is cheering outside the door for Cemetery Boys. One of my favorite books. I love Cemetery Boys so much. I think that this was one of my first five. Was it last year that I read this?
I think so.
I think I read it last year. It was one of my first five-star reads of last year. I even wrote about it in one of my final projects for my degree. It was that impactful. And we've wanted to do this book forever, but we were worried that maybe, you know, we wouldn't have enough to talk about. And then we were like, oh, that's funny. We will.
Yes. Oh, wait. I think it was 2 years ago.
Just kidding. It was 2 years ago. See? Yeah, because it came out in 2020.
Yeah.
It came out in 2020.
I finished it December 26, 2020. And I think I got it for you for Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Yes. Well, this is going to be out. This is going to be our Hanukkah episode. Right before really Hanukkah. So, Chag Sameach, happy holidays. Before we start, what was your favorite part of this book?
I love the ending. It made me cry.
My favorite part, which maybe we should do this at the end then, actually, because this might have spoilers.
Oh, that's true. That's why I tried to keep mine a little vague.
Oh, well, my favorite part is all of it. All right, friend, do you want to get us started with the plot summary? The way that we're going to do this one for all of our listeners is we're going to walk through the entire book and just chat about the things we like from each moment. We have some specific quotes to read. We have some specific discussion topics. We also have some discussion questions that are found online. I don't know if they're the official ones. They look official, but they could also have been made by a school or something. It's just a Cemetery Boys discussion question that I thought we could pick and choose from as we pleased to get some more interesting questions. And that way you can think along with us.
Yes.
Or don't think, right? That's up to you.
I'm an advocate for not thinking. Actually.
You only get one life. It's your job if you want to think or not. I would like to start us off with one of my favorite quotes, which is,
please do,
the black hydro flask full of chicken blood. I think that it's so evocative and it's such a good piece of writing. Just from a writing standpoint, I think that it's so indicative of the feeling of this book, which is this experience of mundanity and magic, which I think is so brilliantly done. And that's what so much of this book does to me, where it manages to so perfectly capture the essence of humanity and our desire for more, and the desire for the fantastical, while also being very firmly tethered and grounded to the human experience and the experience of modernity. Because so much of the fantasy fiction requires you to fall away from modernity and to fall back into historical fiction or living outside of the modern realm. And I think this book is such a gem in the sense that it really harnesses and grasps onto the current modern life and bursts with modern life without losing any sense of magic and fantasy and joy.
Right.
Sorry to start off with a monologue, but apparently that's where we go.
That's totally fine.
So in the beginning, we have Yadriel and Maritza in the cemetery. Yadriel is also known in the book as Yad, so he's this nickname given to him by many of the characters. And they're going towards the Eternal Garden, which is where they have the largest family church. So that he can become one of the brujos of Lady Death, who's also called Santa Muerte. And in the book, they do go into the fact that she has many names and iterations. And on their way there, they see and approach many different ghosts. And there's a lot of backstory and explaining, but it's not info dumpy. And I very much appreciate that it's not like an info dump of what's happening. of different ghosts, and they see two little girls playing. And I love that they're like, these little girls, they're tattletales. These little girls are tattletales. They will tell on you. And they also see his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what else? Oh, they also see Tito.
Yes, yes.
And Tito and then, is...
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I really liked... I thought Tito's storyline was really sad. So Tito mm-hmm. was... he's a member of the community, and he was a florist who always took care of all the flowers that was used for all the ceremonies, and specifically the marigolds, which are called... They're referred to in the book as Flores de Muerto or Cempasúchil. Hoping I said that right. And then after he dies, he chooses to come back and stay around and refuses to have his tether severed so that he can stay around and tend to the cemetery, but specifically to tend to all those flowers because that was his job in life and he feels like his job isn't finished. And then we see, as you know, the book continues, he has a really tragic storyline that we'll get to that I thought was just... Mm-hmm. I thought it was beautifully written and just really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you want to continue, friend?
Sure. So, after they do the ritual, we can also go over how the ritual is and, like, what happens during it.
Yeah.
They noticed that something was wrong, and a member of their family, Miguel, had died.
Yeah, so the ritual starts... when a bruja, so a lot of this book uses gender neutral terminology, mm-hmm. and specifically with the term brujo or bruja, they use the term in English, it'd be, I think it's brujex, but in Spanish, as far as I know, and I've discussed with a number of people, including my partner, the way you would pronounce that would be bruje. So that's what I'm going to go with, and a lot of other alternatives in certain Spanish-speaking communities is if it's gender-neutral, you add an E to it as opposed to the typically gendered O and A. So instead of bruja or brujo, it's bruje. So when pronouncing that, that's how I'm going to go with it. If I'm incorrect on that one, I'm so sorry. That's what I was best advised for. Mm-hmm. So when a bruja turns 15 years old, they are presented to Lady Death, who would give them her blessing and tie their magic to their chosen conduit, their portaje. For women, portajes often took the form of a rosary, a symbol that had begun as a ceremonial necklace and was altered with the rise of Catholicism in Latin America. It was a piece of jewelry that could go unnoticed and ended with a charm that could hold a small amount of sacrificial animal blood. While a crucifix was the most common symbol, sometimes a bruja's rosary ended in a sacred heart or statuette of Lady Death. Men's portajes were often daggers of some sort. A blade was required to sever the golden thread that bound a spirit to their earthly tether. By cutting that tie, brujos were able to release spirits to the afterlife. Being gifted your portaje was an important rite of passage for every bruje. So I thought this next part was so cute. Maritza gave him his. That's so cute. And there's the next part where she's like, it took me weeks to make. I burned myself like 8 times and nearly cut off my finger. She made it for him. And she's the vegan.
Sweet. Yes.
I thought that was... She's like...
As two fellow vegans, that's very... The representation? Oh.
Of vegans? Yes. Yeah. We're a really underrepresented category. So they find out that their family member, Miguel, has died because they talk about how anyone who's part of their community feels death very strongly. And if they feel if something happens to one of their family members, they all feel it immediately. Mm-hmm. So he's just gone through his ceremony, which is really important to him because he is affirming both himself as part of his family, but also in his gender. And so they go, and then all of a sudden he feels this like horrific feeling of death at someone that his family member has passed on. And Maritza mm-hmm. obviously feels it as well.
Yes. So after that, they go back to Yad's house, and where they find that their whole family is gathered for their search for Miguel. And finding Miguel's portaje will allow Miguel to pass on to the next world. However, they won't allow Yad to help because they have this male-female role thing going on, and his family doesn't see him as a boy quite yet. His mom was super supportive, though. What a sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, I think that we're seeing a lot of like very traditional gender roles and very traditional gender dynamics appearing. A lot of it tied to, colonial ideals of sex and gender. Which I do like that the book actually addresses that. I thought that was a really beautiful thing for, I think later in the book, where he's like, that you have to have had queer ancestors. And that's one of the things I love so much. I have a book on Jewish queer anthologies, and we have Jewish queer writing that goes back, I mean, literally over 1,000 years. And I just think it's so beautiful to know that that history exists and that we can honor that history. We can honor our ancestors who lived in a specific way, even though people have tried to stamp out their memory. I just think that's really beautiful. So there is a moment where his father is openly transphobic, where they all get to the house, they're all going to search for Miguel, and they split the groups up into, based on categories. So I think it's important. I don't think we mentioned this yet specifically. So in this tradition, brujas are taught to heal, and men are taught, brujos are taught to deal with the dead through transitioning them to the other world, etc., using their portajes, which are usually daggers, to sever the cord, right? So it's kind of two different skill sets, which is taught to you based on this gendered ideal. And so Yadriel was trying to leave to go with his family, to go with the other brujos to go search for Miguel. But his father says, no, you cannot come. And he keeps pushing until there is a very transphobic outburst. And, after that, Yadriel and Maritza go out to look for Miguel by themselves, and they come across a very strange feeling in the cemetery. And it's important to note that a lot of them, one of the things that they mention is, when Bruja babies are born, they get their ears pierced very young to hear the sounds of the spirits. And then when they turn 15, they cut their tongue as part of the ritual to speak to the spirits, as opposed to just being able to see them. So they have this very in-tuned sense of sensibilities with the spirits. So obviously, if something's funky going on, it's not just because they've seen too many horror movies. Something's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And then they find a necklace on the ground that ended up being a tether for a
Oh,
spirit.
and by the way, the necklace on the ground. So I called my partner in for that one because I could read it, but I wanted to make sure it was actually the right, like I got it right. So it says San Judas Tadeo, which is Saint Jude. And then it says, Ruega por nosotros, which I think my partner said it translates to pray for us. And, one of the things that's mentioned is the portajes, the tethering items that tether a spirit to the world are the things that are really important to them, like that are super, super important to them. So they assume that their cousin Miguel's tether would obviously be his portaje, but then when they're, in the cemetery, they find this necklace and they're like, well, maybe it's his. And since, Yadriel has just completed his ceremony, they're like, well, why don't you try and summon him? Which, what genius logic is that? You just started this today. You just got here. Like, I know you're trying to help, but it just doesn't seem like m I know you're really trying to prove yourself. And I very much, maybe
It's
wait.
very sweet.
It
It's
is
a
really
sweet
sweet.
sentiment.
It really is. So he summons the spirit. Not, and this is the part that gets me. He doesn't bother to check on the necklace. Maybe the necklace has a name engraved onto it. Maybe the necklace might not belong to his uncle. I'm sorry, his cousin. Just mayhap. Nope. Nope. Dives right into it head first. He summons somebody, and somebody shows up, and guess what? It's not Miguel.
Of course.
Nope. Nope. It is, friend, who is it?
It's Julian.
It's Julian.
We love
Oh,
Julian.
Julian.
He's
Yeah.
so cute.
What a sweetheart. What a sweetheart. So, Julian is a kid who goes to the same school as Yad's. But they don't really know each other, and he doesn't yet know that he's dead. So he goes, "That's my necklace." And then they turn it over and see that there's a name engraved on it. Again, they don't do this before they summon the spirit attached to it. They do it until after he's already there. And so Yeah, the dad is like, well, it's my responsibility now, so I'm gonna tether your cord and send you to wherever you need to go. And Julian says,
No, Surrey Bob.
I
I
don't
don't
think
want
that's what
that.
he says. I don't think he's from Wisconsin, but he says no, not a chance. Because he's very specific, he wants to check on his family. And by his family,
Yes.
his friends.
Very
Chosen
sweet.
family, getting me right in
Who
the
would have
heart,
thought?
getting me right in the heart. Oh. You want to get to the next part?
Sure. So, after they try to cut the tether, sorry. After they try to cut it, and I think it doesn't work at first.
Yeah, it doesn't
And
work because
then,
they mention it later in the book that generally, because I think it's Diego who does it for the first time. This is why I love ebooks. Why am I flipping through pages? Like, can I just command F? Like, command F, please. Oh my God, at one point, Julian. So one of the running themes throughout this story is, I think, adorable. I love these specific character traits. Julian says a lot of common phrases and idioms, but says them just slightly
Yes.
off. It's a doggy dog world.
How
It's
funny.
another one. He's like, I'm not going to be your scapegoat instead of a scapegoat.
Yes.
I love it. I love it so much. It's so endearing. Ooh. I'm gonna start crying yet again.
No.
After Brujo turned 15, it usually took another few years of shadowing the older Brujos and learning their ways before you are allowed to release your own spirits. This would be Diego's first time. So, normally, you would take a couple years to learn before you try and release a spirit. Yadriel was like, okay, so I did it. I've summoned one. And now, right away, no training, nothing. I'm going into it and I'm going to release this guy. To which Julian is like, you're bad at this. Also, citations are important. And I can't believe people cited these incorrectly. How
Truly.
dare. Supersummary.com. How dare you? I think they were using a different version because the page numbering was inconsistent. So, wow. There was also a 20-minute intermission you just didn't hear right now as I flipped page by page through the entire book twice and then Googled the page number incorrectly. So, right. So, what were you doing? He just was like, okay, well, I could do it. There's also, do you want to explain the story of Percaso? Percaso?
If you
Boy.
want. I kind of forgot about
Oh, I can. Oh, okay. So remember
it.
how the Brujas teach healing? So, Yadriel's mom, Camila, was a very, very loved, beloved healer in their community. And his whole childhood, Yadriel knew that because he's trans, because he's not a young girl, he was never going to grow into his, supposed powers of healing. He was never going to be a healer. And so they kept being like, oh, well, he's just a late bloomer. He'll eventually get it, huh? And his mom tried to encourage him by one day they were out and they saw a little kitten that needed healing. So she tried to encourage him to use his powers to help heal the kitten. And it did not work. And she ended up, I believe the words they use are all messed up.
Yes.
With a zigzag curved spine. And they named her Percaso after the painter who also created some abstract ideas of what things should look like. Because she's only an abstract idea of what a cat should look like. So it's very sweet. And he mentions that it reminds him that the magic of his mom lives on in this cat, which I thought was really sweet. Which is why I thought it was so sweet when the cat warmed up to Julian immediately.
Yes. It was adorable. Oh, also they had to sneak Julian in because
Oh, yes.
Yad's whole family, they can see ghosts.
See, hear,
So
talk to, get along with, and
yes.
also get rid of. So,
Right. So they had
yeah.
to be very careful with getting him up.
So in this chapter, we also learn about Because previously we've seen spirits just kind of existing, right? Like Tito tending to the cemetery, the twins that play that are also tattletales. But we also find out that if a spirit is wandering around for too long, they can become nefarious and evil, and the term is maligno. And so this is something that Julian kind of has to come to terms with, come to grips with, that could happen to him. Like, he's like, wait, what?
We also, this is also where Julian finds out that Yads is trans, and he's supportive of it. He doesn't really care. He's just kind of like, cool. All
Cool.
right, we're
All right.
moving on.
So Julian goes to school with Yadira the next day, and what a he kind of forgets a lot throughout the day that Maritza and Yadira, they can hear him and see him, even though everyone else can't. So his mischievous activities cause trouble, and it's a very sweet chapter, except for the part where they're trying to find out more information, right? Because they do know that he was murdered, and so Maritza and Yadira are trying to find out more about what happened to Julian, and so they start chatting to other people, and turns out other people are horrible, just awful, just so awful. Just horrific racial stereotypes, ethnic stereotypes, just awful. And poor Julian is sitting there, like, when you say you want to be a fly on the wall in other people's conversations? Turns out other people are awful, and he didn't deserve to hear that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? It's not even that he didn't deserve to hear that, it's that they shouldn't have been saying that or thinking that to begin with.
Later on in the day, Julian and Yads look through a yearbook for Julian's friends, and Julian and Yads both come out to each other, which is very exciting.
Oh, that's where we get the fantastic quote, if I do say so myself. Ahem. Queer folks are like wolves. We travel in packs.
Yes. Either intentionally or unintentionally, because growing up, I had many queer friends and didn't even realize that I was queer as well.
We
So that's
congregate
fun.
and then we come out.
Yes.
So then they go, oh my God, I also forgot. Maritza has pit bulls. She brings her to, they call them the boys, and you don't know that it's going to be two giant pit bulls until you meet them. And their names, I think their names are Michelangelo and Donatello. And
Yes,
Julian's like, after
exactly.
the Ninja Turtles? And she's like, no, after the painters. But I love pit bulls, so in my head they're so cute. They're adorable and I love them. So they go to find Julian's friends, and we find out a little bit more about their backstory, that essentially each of them has had really, really rough times. And so there's Rocky or Raquel, Omar, Luca, and Flaca. And Yadriel talks a lot about it, a lot of respect for Flaca, who is the only openly trans person that he knew before he came out. And he remembers like seeing her in school, and like he did a project with her at one point. And he remembers being impacted by when she like stopped coming to school. Like, he noticed, and he didn't know why. But Julian explains that she was a, I think the term they used was throwaway kid, as in her parents kicked her out when she came out to them. And so she stopped going to school, and she was, and then everyone else was essentially either homeless or living in really, really horrible situations. And so rightfully, they had no interest in discussing anything with these two people who just showed up out of the blue asking questions about their friend who got jumped the night before and is suddenly missing. And someone, mind you, and again, two big dogs, which, so there's this next part, which I thought this part was just, so Omar says, blood of the covenant. And Julian signs in a defeated tone, is thicker than the water of the wound. And I thought that was so sweet. It's a variation of the term, the blood of covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. But they changed it to mean water of, thicker than the blood water of the wound. And I just thought that was really sweet that they have a cute little thing together.
They do. We also learned that you shouldn't say that out loud. Well, Yad in particular
Yep,
shouldn't have
yep,
said that
yep,
out
yep,
loud
yep.
because that got him into some trouble with
Well, it turns out
Brayden's
if you know someone
friends.
else's secret code, you and you have no reason to, why would you do that? So they just started running, just left, just
Yes.
absolutely went. But Luca runs after them and helps him approach Julian's brother, Rio. But then something very frightening happens. Take it away.
Julian tries to touch Yad's whenever they're in Yad's bedroom again, and Julian starts bleeding and flickers out of existence and back into existence. They
He
both freak
starts also
out.
bleed. Doesn't he bleed directly from where he was stabbed?
I think so.
Which was, again, in the heart. So, yeah.
They both freak out, obviously. Yad's is very concerned that Julian is going maligno and is obviously very scared.
Yeah, I would be very frightened. Frightened. Okay, before that happens, there's actually a scene that I want to talk about. Before he flickers out of existence, as they walk in, they overhear a conversation between Yadriel's father, Enrique, and his uncle, Tio Catrice. And Catrice is talking to his brother. Now, there's a really interesting family dynamic that Catrice is the older brother, but he was born with almost no magic. So he can see the ghosts, he can talk to them, but he can't do anything else. He doesn't have enough power. And something they call, I believe they call it the dilisución de ma mágica. I remember doing that from memory. And so he says, times are changing, hermano, his tío said, earnest and almost pleading. We need to make changes in order to survive. Our lineage is faced with ever-weakening magic. And Yadriel thinks, oh my God, my uncle is standing up for me. My uncle is fighting with my transphobic dad for my dad to accept me. Oh my God, my uncle is doing this for me. And it's this big moment where, like, he truly thinks, oh my God, someone's coming up to bat for me. They love me so much and care for me. They're going to change my dad's mind. And then he hears his dad shut him down completely. And it's heartbreaking because Yadriel thinks that his uncle went up to bat for him and his father, denied his uncle that. Like, right, denied him yet again, yet another chance for his dad to forego him. But we find out at the end that that's not what it's even about. So he was sad and hurt for no reason. And I just thought that it was such a, I thought it was such an, I thought it was such an ingenious moment of, story building. Like this, and I think this is, there's so many poetic lines in this book that I just love so much. This one says, only the dead watched as he ran through the tombstones and back to the house, and they stayed silent as well. Which is, again, there's like a big theme of the dead talking through this, the dead staying silent as he does is so momentous for that occasion. Anyway, so yes, so he has this moment where, again, we have this moment again where we talk about, there's also a really interesting moment here on page 184 where Julian is trying to understand Yad's perspective on where, why he needs to prove himself so much. And he's like, if, Santa Muerte is your is the lady of death, the person, the deity, your patron, why are you trying to prove yourself to anyone else? And Julian says, so why isn't it enough that she accepted you, that she gave you your power? And, Yaz is like, it won't be enough for the rest of my family. They need more proof. And Julian's like, is it not good enough for them or is it not good enough for you?
And he says that a couple of times in the book, too.
Yeah. They do this a couple times. And like, this is a part that I think is really interesting where it says, yeah, the Daryl was caught between wanting to defend his family and appreciating what Julian was trying to say. Mostly he was tired and frustrated. He was tired of fighting on all fronts. And then after they talk again, then we have the magical, it's a doggy dog out, world out there. And they have this really sweet moment. They just have a great conversation. And Julian has dimples, which I just think are like the cutest little
Oh,
character mark.
yes. At school the next day, Julian convinces Yads to take a walk around the school because Yads is like falling asleep during class. And Julian is
Been
like,
there.
I don't know how you can stay awake for that long. In that class specifically. And Julian convinces him to go to the boys' bathroom for the first time, which is very
Very
sweet of
sweet.
him.
Yeah. Though I will say this, if you tell me you're going to stand outside the restroom and sing, so I don't have to be anxious about you hearing the restroom noises, and then you don't sing, that bond is broken forever. I trusted you and you betrayed me, so. Oh, and you mentioned the nicknames. Yes, the nicknames are so cute. Yads and Jules. Oh, mm-hmm. There is a term of endearment that's used at the end, which is in my favorite scene. We'll get there. Oh. You want to continue?
Sure. So Yads, Luca, Maritza, and Julian go to Julian's brother's mechanic shop to find out some more information. However, his brother Rio is convinced that Julian ran away and didn't allow for any other explanations, ultimately kicking Yads and Maritza out.
Well, a little bit of context, they had a really big fight right before it all happened.
Yeah.
So before everything happened, before they were jumped and eventually Julian was killed, he had had a really bad fight with his brother, and so he had left. And Rio thought that because of what happened in the fight, that's why his brother didn't want to come home. Mm-hmm. Not because just in general his brother was going to leave, but because that fight had been so bad, he thought that that was it. That was the tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
So they steal a t-shirt, and there's also, I did write this down. I underlined it. A blue, scratchy-looking blanket with satin trim on... Do you know what the blanket they're talking about? Because I know exactly mm-hmm. which blanket. It's in so many houses. I grew up with... I don't think we had one. Maybe we did. But I don't think we did. But I think like a lot of the people I grew up with had this specific blanket. Scratchy blanket satin trim. It's so itchy. When you are trying to like get cozy under it, there's no coziness happening. You are just feeling like you are...
God.
So the next part... So they take a piece of shirt, or they take a shirt, and they give it to the dogs. Another part that's kind of important, so Maritza's family, so her dad crafts portajes, and so she learns that from her dad. One of the things is Maritza's vegan, and so she's like, absolutely no animal blood. I will not be a healer, because in order to heal, they use animal blood, and it's ethically sourced from a local butcher, but it's still animal blood, so she wants nothing to do with it, so she refuses to be a healer. And one of the things her family does is they breed and train dogs to be sniffing dogs, tracking dogs. I don't know why I said sniffing dogs. That's not a term. They train tracking dogs so that they can track down people who have died, and they can track down their tethers and their portajes in order to properly sever them and send them on to the next realm. And just a quick little thing here. Yes, you can use pit bulls as tracking dogs, but they're not the best tracking dogs. If you're going to train tracking dogs... Maybe train a different breed, but like they're not known for their sniffing abilities, but right. They're adorable and I love them so much. So No complaints from me. So they use the shirt to try and trace his steps on Julian's last day of life. And what do they find, friend? What glorious thing is at the end of that scent journey?
They find Julian's tacos that he dropped whenever he was murdered, which I think is very funny.
Okay.
And Julian's so psyched about it. He's like, oh my gosh, my tacos.
There's a line that says, Julian was the most alive person he'd ever met. Even as a spirit, he was bright and full of constantly moving energy. A sun crammed into the body of a boy. God, that's so good. You know what that feels like? I feel like if I tried to sell the Song of Achilles to BookTok using that quote, they'd be all about it. But point is, I think that this line is so beautiful. A son crammed into the body of a boy is just so...
It's so sweet.
It's very poetic. It makes me feel very emotional. There is some literature that just gets me. Turns out, Aidan Thomas, I'll read whatever you publish. I'll read all the books. I've read the last, and then I'll just read them, just hand those, you know, you publish them and I'll just buy them immediately. And that's exactly how this relationship works. My tacos, Julian exclaimed with pleased surprise. This part also, it starts to rain, and Julian held out his hand as it began to drizzle, and the rain fell right through his palms. There's a way to write characters where the characters can exist as both poetically tragic and vibrantly alive, and I think that in a lot of the times we get sucked into one or the other, right? Like, a lot of the times you kind of end up with a ghost who's like, oh, the morose ghost, Or you end up with a ghost. You're like, you're not even, what are you dead? Or are you dead? Are you here? What are you doing? Like, you've forgotten that you're not here. And,
right.
Or like vampires, where they've kind of like, they eventually just forget that they're supposed to be vampires. Mm-hmm. Twilight. And then they, but I think that this so beautifully captures a lot of the tragedy of mm-hmm. the death of a 16, 17 year old boy. 16.
Yeah, I think so.
16. Yeah. So earlier I talked about Tito, who I thought was one of the most, you know, beautifully written tragic parts of this story. So when we first meet him, right, he's this stern figure who's very secure. Even though he is a spirit, he's very secure, and he has this job that he's so dedicated to and he loves so much, and he's a friend of Yadiro's father. And, you know, he's so strong in his existence, even as a spirit, right? He's tending mm-hmm. to his flowers, which was, you know, they talk about in the book how he first started doing tending them on his own, and then he would sell them on the out of buckets, and then eventually he got his own, you know, his own brick and mortar shop, and he would supply all of the flowers for all of the brujas and the whole community. Mm-hmm. But on their way into the cemetery, they bump into him, and he's gone maligno. Mm-hmm. And so Yadriel is trying to fight him off, and Julian's trying to fight him off, and he doesn't know if a spirit can harm another spirit. He doesn't know if Tito can hurt Julian. So he's trying to get out his portaje, and his portaje starts glowing, and he's reaching into his backpack for this black hydro flask of blood. I'm holding up my black hydro flask. It contains water. They're trying to sever the connection between Tito and his tether. And his tether is actually his pair of garden shears, mm-hmm. Which I thought was a really wonderful little... It showed just how much gardening meant to him and just how much, you know, being part of his community was and the community care aspect of it. Anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah, his father shows up and he saves them. He severs the connection. He saves them. Julian immediately hides. I have to go. And he immediately hides. And so... His father finds out about his portaje, and he finds out that he did his ceremony on his own. Because remember, the ceremony they're supposed to do is supposed to be with the whole community. And he and Maritza went, and they did it on their own, alone. He did it on his own, behind his father's back, because his father refused to even let him try. And he mm-hmm. just, he did it dafka. And his dad apologizes to him.
Mm-hmm.
If you have issues of wanting paternal validation, this book is you on your own, and it worked. You receive, I'm paraphrasing this, I'm reading the quotes that are only spoken by the father, because there's a lot of mm-hmm. other stuff that happens. You received Lady Death's blessing. Yadriel, he heaved a heavy sigh, and Yadriel cringed, bracing for impact. When his father spoke, his voice was small and defeated. I am sorry. Mm-hmm. Yadriel blinked. He was sorry? Yadriel stole a look up at his dad, convinced he'd heard him wrong. I did not think it was possible, his dad confessed, still looking quite shocked. I thought, he shook his head to himself, whatever I thought, I was wrong. Ah! Ah! And then he said, you know, he said, want to talk about it as a family, which includes their mom, because on Dia de los Muertos, all the brujas come back. So all the ones that are remembered that they create ofrendas for, all the ones who want to come back to visit. So this is the first year since Yad's mom passes away. So she's going to come back for the first time, and they're going to be able to spend mm-hmm. 2 days with their loved ones, with their family. So as a whole family, they get to discuss everything. Death doesn't end that. And mm-hmm. and he says this. Well, and then Yad says, but what if the others don't agree? His dad gave his shoulder a firm squeeze. Lady Death would not bind you to a dagger, your dagger, if you weren't a brujo, Yadriel.
I just got chills again.
For him to do that, for him to apologize and admit fault right away, well, you know this is a fantasy book, right from that. Just that alone, for a father to just immediately admit fault and to apologize first, admit fault and take culpability and plan to change immediately. All wow. around the world, therapists are going, wow, if only. But there is a downside to this beautiful thing that just happened. Because seeing the maligno, Julian decides that he wants Yadriel to cut the tether and release him. And Yaz is having a really hard time with that. You know, it says if Yadriel released him, he'd be gone forever. And that's, you know, really hard. And you start to realize that, somebody fell. Somebody fell headfirst. Tumbled straight into having beautiful, deep emotions for somebody else. Your turn, friend.
Okay. They have one last day together, which is Halloween and Dia de los Muertos.
Dia de los Muertos starts at midnight, I think, on the 31st. So, as 31st. And it starts November 1st, November 2nd. That's when the other sport this is.
Amazing. When Julian's tie is released, he won't return because he's not a Brujé. While the Brujé dead do return. Yads tells Julian that they can do whatever he wants. And then they steal Rio's car and go to a bonfire party. They're like at an overlook on the beach. And it's just very romantic. I think
they also get snacks.
Probably.
They also want to get some snacks, right? Because he was talking about he wants Takis, and he's like, I don't want the lime ones. I don't like limes that much.
They drive off near the beach, and Julian kisses Yads. A little ghosty kiss.
What a moment. What a moment. Oh, so there's one part where he talks about, like, Dia de los Muertos. Like, so how does the whole Dia de Muertos thing work exactly, Julian asked, glancing over at Yadriel. All the food and altars and decorations and stuff. Yadriel stretched and tucked his hands under his neck. Well, to welcome our ancestors back, we make ofrendas for our family members. We use their pictures, belongings, and favorite foods. Then there's the standard stuff like mezcal, pan de muerto. Pan de muerto, if you haven't had it, so good.
Yads and Julian go to the old church where Yads tries to cut the thread, but it doesn't work. But Julian still, quote unquote, dies again and disappears.
But they're like, did we actually cut the tether, or is he just flickering out of existence again?
Right, exactly. Maritza comes back to check on them, and they use pig blood to cast a spell of some sort that casts a gold thread leading them to Julian and Miguel's body in a crypt underneath the church. So right. Very creepy.
Right. What do I love more? Church crypts. So it's important to note that there are two main churches that are referenced, and they talk about this. So when there was the first colonial experience, when the first community in LA, they talk about this here. They talk about how there's the old church that was for the old cemetery that was for the local, you know, Brujé community, for the Mexican-American community in LA. But eventually, they grew too big, so they had to build a new church. And in the new church is where most of the festivities happen, but where Yadriel went for his own first thing. This was all in the old church. So where he, you know, there's an older statue of Santa Muerte, and that's where they also found Julian's necklace, and that's where they went when they were going to release Julian, because that's where they found his necklace, right? And then they do the thing where they're trying to find him, and they go into the crypt. So when they go down into the crypt, earlier in the story, great little bit of world building, great little world building. Earlier in the story, they explain that there is a ancient artifact that was passed down to them from the legend of Balaam, which I hope I'm pronouncing that one correctly, the jaguar god, Madame the Jaguar God was the leader of Shibarba. When you died, you had to travel through Shibarba to reach the peaceful world of the afterlife, where Lady Death ruled. Some people were granted safe and direct passage to the afterlife by Lady Death, like those who died in battle at a young age or during childbirth, but most had to endure the challenges of Shibarba. In order to make it through, you had to be clever and brave. Also known as the Place of Fright, Shibarba was filled with monsters and death gods you had to outsmart and defeat. Balaam ruled over Shibarba. He ate the spirits of all those who failed on their journey. Part man, part beast, he was fearsome and cruel, insatiable. Unsatisfied with the spirits that he caught in Shibarba, Balaam tricked humans into helping him cross the realm of the living so he could feed. Essentially, they started doing human sacrifice. He would grant Brujas power through human sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And there is a artifact that has four sacred blades in it that's connected to an amulet that would grant the wearer of the amulet power if they killed four people with the blades. They could keep it. So Lady Death fought Balaam in a war that lasted 3 days and three nights. Balaam was strong, but Lady Death was clever. She trapped Balaam in Shibarba and destroyed all of the Lagara de Jaguar. Let's really hope for the best on that one. I'll have to ask my partner how to say that, and maybe I'll re-record. So no one could summon him again, except for one. The last set Lady Death bequeathed to the very first family of Brujos and Brujas. These humans wanted to help Lady Death bring balance back to the world of the living and dead. She blessed us with the ability to heal the injured living and safely shepherd the spirits of the dead to the afterlife so no one would have to suffer the trials of Shibarba again. So that we learned very early in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, ding dong. Tio Catrice has just said, well, what a useful tool for me to use to summon up some power for me.
Right.
You know what else is useful? How the Los Angeles city system, how the Los Angeles system has failed so many people consistently that you can just take people off the streets and no one will care.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The failures of LAPD and all the city systems that are put in place, the state systems, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, so where am I going? So, his uncle essentially had his evil villain moment of his uncle wants to gain power that has been taken from him. Remember when he was talking to his brother about going back to the old ways? He's talking about human sacrifice. And one of the things that they talk a lot about in this book is how you can't use human blood for these sacrifices. You can only use animal blood because it's too much. It's not acceptable. And so he has taken four people off the streets. And when you were talking to the friends of Julian, we find out that some other people have gone missing and no one cared. And when they tried to go report Julian missing, LAPD was like, yeah, we don't care at all.
Right.
But I'm sorry, what are we supposed to do? Well, your job, actually. So, whatever. When they walk into the crypt, they find, oh, guess what? They're missing Miguel. He's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because turns out Teocatrice just, killed him too.
Right.
As he was killing and kidnapping Julian, Miguel stumbled upon the scene, and Catrice was like, well, I guess I gotta kill you too, along with two other people who I don't think we actually find out much about them. So,
mm-mm.
No. Unfortunately, they were kind of collateral damage in that part.
Yeah.
they do come back to life. Sorry. No spoiler. That is a spoiler, absolutely. But they're all down there, and they've all been stabbed through the heart, and he is wearing a jaguar headdress. He's wearing an amulet. He's wearing the jaguar amulet, and he's going on his, like, rant about how they've been kicked out of the family, they've been pushed down, and Yadriel is like, actually, so fun story about that. I have been accepted. So, also, that's the other thing. I don't know if we mentioned this earlier. Teocatrice is the older brother. And traditionally, he should be the patriarch of the entire community now. But because he has no powers, it went to his younger brother, which is Yadriel's father. Mm-hmm. So he was really pushed aside for that one. What is this? Is this the Lion King? So he starts to summon Balaam, where he's like, I'm going to sacrifice these guys. And then I'm going to kill all of the Brujas and send, well, I'm not kill the living ones, but I'm gonna send all of the souls that have come back for Dia de Muertos. I'm gonna send them all back to travel through the fields, to travel through Shibaiba, and they're all gonna suffer for eternity so that I can have power. Mind you, this amulet also gives you more than just regular power. It gives you the power to bring back, people from the dead. It also gives you the power to kill people. It's mag. It's extremely powerful. It's beyond the powers that the Brujas have in this day and age. And so Maritza is like, we know. All of them are like, absolutely not. Because also down there, by the way, is both the dead, the physical body of Julian and the spiritual body of Julian. So they're not into it. Maritza tries to attack him. So does Julian. Turns out children are no match for an adult on that front. And he starts going forward. He starts moving forward. And then the other deal says, you know what? Moment is over. Your moment in the sun is just a little too stressful for me. And as the jaguar is very descriptively coming up from the depths, he snatches the amulet from his neck and he pushes his uncle into the cenote, and he is immediately eaten by the jaguar Balam, which I think is a fitting end. Frankly, what do you think?
I love it. 10 out of 10.
But then, oh no, Julian is dying. Julian is now dying, for sure. And so Yadriel summons Lady Death, Santa Muerte, who appears before him, like in physical, corporeal form, which is a very, very big deal. Summoning a god is a huge deal. And she says, I can't do anything, but you have the power. And so Yadriel says, well, I know what this amulet can do. And he
Biggest
sacrifices
sigh.
himself. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just. You're 16. He sacrifices himself to bring back his cousin Miguel, the two other people, and of course, Julian.
Julian.
So he sacrifices himself, and the four people come back to life. But Yadriel is, of course, dying. And so what does Maritza do? Maritza breaks her life promise to never use blood. Well, you never use animal blood, and she just uses, the human blood on the floor, I guess. I don't know if that's more appropriate for her. And she chooses for the, to heal. And she does. And it's like a really big moment where she really goes for it and she saves his life. And then, okay, wait, you didn't write it down, but I do want to talk about it. My favorite scene happens. So everyone else shows up at this point. Enrique shows up, like Yadira's dad shows up. That's his dad. They all show up and they're kind of like, what's going on? And so Maritza starts explaining. But then Julian wakes up. Julian finally wakes up. He runs over. And as they start coming towards him, right? Because he doesn't know the full extent, right? He doesn't quite understand, like, that what the acceptance means. So he's very defensive. And so he's, standing between Yad's body and his family, like making sure, like trying to protect him. And they're like, who is this? And Miguel's like, I don't know who this person is. And he says to Julian, is Yadriel your friend? The word burns. Mi querido. He snapped. That means like, mi querido is like my beloved, kind of. My dear. So like when they
How
ask, is
sweet.
that your friend? He says, that is like my dear. That is my beloved. Like that's, you came back for the from the dead for him, and he died for you. How are you gonna top? How are you gonna like? How's any promposal gonna be better than that? Like, how are you gonna
That's
ever
what
do
I'm
anything?
saying.
You kind of set the bar so high for any anniversary, anything else, right? And then he's like trying to protect him from their his family because he wants to make sure that he's okay, So they both get to the hospital. Now it's you, friend.
Oh, yes, they rush to the hospital, and Yad and Julian both wake up. Also, Julian is, he really does not want the nurses to put any IVs or anything in him, so
No.
he's fighting against them. But they both wake up and they find each other in the hospital, and then
They
they
run to
finally
each other.
run to each other and kiss, and it's very cute. It's very lovely.
It's very cute. So during the very first hours of Día de Muertos, they have a sort of like coming out ceremony for all of the people who turned 15 and had their ceremonies during the year prior, right? So Maritza had hers, and and I think there were two other people up there. And Yadiro wasn't supposed to be up there because, his family wasn't going to let him have his, but he did it on his own and they accepted him, so he gets to go up there too. And it's so sweet because his father says Yadriel Enrique signed with her, my brave, brave son.
Oh,
Just so sweet.
yeah.
And I thought that was just wonderful. And then he gets to see his mom again, and his mom gets to meet
Yes,
Julian.
it's very sweet.
Yes, it is. What a good
It's
book. What a great book.
so good. 5 out of 5. Man.
Yeah, God, that part where he thinks that his uncle is fighting for him and he thinks
It's
his dad, it's just like it makes me
heartbreaking.
so upset.
Truly.
Would you like to go on to some of the discussion questions?
Sure, let's do it.
Cemetery Boys is steeped in Latinx culture and traditions, especially those surrounding Dia de Muertos. Which details and traditions were your favorite? You want me to go first?
Yes, please.
I mean, I think there's so many different beautiful ones, but I think one of the really beautiful ones that we just see as a theme throughout the book, which obviously mirrors real life. Like, I still have a lot of them in my house from, my partner's celebration, is marigolds. Marigolds and their connection. I think they're a gorgeous, beautiful flower, but also when Santa Muerte appears, marigold petals rain down. And I just think that it's such a beautiful, beautiful flower, and it has such meaning. And I love specifically the story. I love Tito's storyline of how he had this deep love of it. And I think it's a very sad, tragic storyline that his story ended so sadly. I
Right.
guess happily, because he does get to pass on, but
I
that was one of
think
them.
one of my favorites was the bread for the dead. I forget what it's
Pan de
called.
muerto.
Yes. I the one scene where Julian finally eats the bread and he's like, this is so good. That was so cute. I really like that one.
Did I tell you? This year, my partner went to microwave a piece of pan de muerto, left it in the microwave for a full day, forgot about it.
Oh no.
And I
He's
open
taking
up the
after
microwave.
you.
How dare you? I can't believe this. I can't believe you. Maritza is Yadriel's best friend and partner in crime. How different would the book be if Yadriel didn't have her to lean on?
Oh, I
I
don't
don't
even
want to
want to
think
think of
about that.
that.
Yep.
I think eventually his dad would have done something, but I feel like it would take a lot longer than like whenever Yads did it himself, obviously.
I don't know. I don't know how it would have gone, right? Because
Yeah,
he.
me either.
Well, I'm just glad he had her to lean on. That's the.
Me too.
So Yadriel thinks that summoning a spirit and releasing it in the afterlife would allow him to prove himself as a brujo and a boy. But later, Julian asks, why do you think you have to prove that you're a brujo, a guy to them? Why do you think you have to prove anything to anyone? Why do you think it was so important for Yadriel to prove himself, and who do you think he was trying the hardest to convince?
I think his community and his father,
I
for the
think
most
that
part.
when you come from, I can't obviously can't speak to this experience, but I can speak to a different communal experience. I think that when you come from a community that shares certain things, you feel validated in sharing those experiences with other people. And to have other people see you experience what they experience is oftentimes very validating. And so, yes, he was obviously trying to prove to himself. Right, because there was he when he first goes to do the ceremony with Maritza, he has a moment of doubt in himself. So when he proves it to himself, it's this beautiful moment of confirmation in himself.
Mm-hmm.
But after that part, he's convincing his community, because we see consistently throughout the entire book how important and vital community is,
mm-hmm.
and how much it means to him, and how much it means to, you know, the people around him, the people closest to him. Where would Julian be without his community, right? His
right.
group of people. Where would Maritza be without the shared community that they have, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a holistic system, having that community. So when he's trying to prove himself to everyone, yeah, you could take the route of running and leaving, but this community is so vital and important. Mm-hmm. Where else would you learn your communal traditions? Where else would you learn your history if not at the knees of your elders, and if not in this communal space, which is clearly mm-hmm. so important?
Right.
Any final thoughts you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I really enjoyed this book, and the second read around was really good. My partner actually just read the book, and
he
also really liked it. Yeah.
Good.
Yes.
Good. It's such a good book.
So that's exciting. It really is. Although they listened to it on Libby, and I guess they thought that the main character's name was Gabriel the whole time.
who narrates it?
I don't know.
Let's go look.
I think it's just one of those things where it's like you listen to an audiobook and sometimes it gets like really confusing.
Yeah.
Either because like you're not paying attention, or like, I don't know, audiobooks can just be confusing sometimes.
Yeah.
I love them dearly, but I get confused just so easily.
Yep.
Okay, so I don't know if we're still going. Like,
we
is
are,
this going to be cut out?
We're going to cut this bit out. Or we can include it, right? Depends on how bookish it is.
It's very bookish. I will just say,
nerd.
I know. my partner and I recently did a book exchange. So I gave them two whole books, maybe three. And then they gave me about five. So I have, one of them is a nonfiction book.
I'm so happy though. Which
very
what book
funny.
Is it?
Gosh,
what's
book
it about?
Did I give them?
No, what book? What's the nonfiction book they gave you?
They gave me two. They gave me Beyond the Gender Binary, and then an essay one. I think it's called Wow, No Thank You, or No Thank You, Wow.
I thought you said Wow, No Think. Wow,
oh,
No Think.
It's something here. Let me see. It's like a bunch of essays.
A bunch of essays?
Oh my gosh, my memory is so good. It's called Wow, No Thank You.
That's the first time you've ever said that in your life.
but it seems like it would be good, so I'm excited to jump into that at some point.
Well, I can't wait for you to read nonfiction, friend. I feel like that's going to be amazing.
Yes. I've read one nonfiction book this year.
Are you tracking that?
Yes.
That feels so mean. Why do you get to track because I'm mad that you're not imposing the same ridiculous rules I'm imposing on myself on you. If I counted all the nonfiction books I'd read this year, I'd already be at my goal.
I think you still should.
No, this is for fiction only. No, because if I don't,
okay.
This is the thing. This is the problem. If I don't force myself to read fiction, I just read nonfiction all the time. Friend, do you want to know what book I read recently?
What?
I read a literal dictionary. The Dictionary of Jewish Lore and Legends. It's a literal dictionary. And I read the whole thing. And I took notes.
Counts.
Fun. I don't think it counts because it's work. It's like, how am I supposed to count work? And also, the thing is, I love fiction so much, and if I don't force myself to make time for it, I don't do it.
Right.
So it's kind of, you know, and I need to be publicly shamed if I don't achieve my goals. So.
Well, I believe in you, friend. I think you can do it.
Thank you so much. I will be counting this reread because I haven't read this book since
in
last
two years.
Year. No, I read it last year when I wrote my,
your essay.
It was a research paper, so.
Oh, sorry.
All right. No final notes other than this book is wonderful and I really appreciate this book. And I think there's some really insightful commentary in this book as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I always like hearing from people, you know, who are speaking from their own experience when they talk about this book, I think, and all books really, but I love this book so much, and I'm really glad that we got to talk about books we like. No complaining this episode. Guys, we did it. Wow. We should find an applause button. I don't know how people insert applause into their podcast, but
That was perfect.
right, y'all. Thank you so much for listening. We do
Yes.
have two important things to share with you. Merch. We have merch. It's on Redbubble. You buy it, and that's it. You get merch. This is being released around the time of many different holidays, which means that Redbubble will be running so many sales. And Redbubble does this thing where they put the sales at the top of their website. So I don't have to tell you the code because you can just go to redbubble.com, search in i10 book club, and it'll show up. And at the top of the page, it'll tell you what discounts they're currently running. So you can get stickers, hats, notebooks, magnets. What else do we have? I think
I think
that's
that's
it.
it. Yeah.
Perfect. Stickers, notebooks, hats, and magnets. We have all the merchandise you could ever want. I think we also have one sweater.
Maybe.
Maybe. And if not, you can go find out for us. The second thing is you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok. And if Twitter's still around, Twitter at i10 Book Club. You can follow
Right.
Kenzie at mac.jpg and Time Traveling Cowboy on Instagram and TikTok. And we'll see you all next week.
Yes.
Nope, I
Bye.
lied. Next
Nope,
month.
next month.
Next. All right, bye.
Bye.